Today, I would like you to take your Bible, please, and let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me read to you three verses from this second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, when he writes to them, says that he preached the gospel, God's gospel. He says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse which cherishes or feeds her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own soul, because you were dear unto us." Paul loved these people. And then he says in verse 9, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, our labor and trouble, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Now, in verses 8 and 9 of this chapter, we read this phrase two different times. Paul says that he preached to them the gospel of God. The gospel of God. Now, this gospel, and the word gospel plainly means, and simply means, glad tidings or good news. It's a proclamation of God's eternal purpose in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Chiefly, this gospel of God is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's to His glory. To His glory. Secondly, this gospel of God is concerning not only the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the salvation of His people from their sin, by and through and in, and because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The angel declared from heaven, "Say, call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin." The gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ declares at least four things. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about today. The gospel of God declares these four important points. Let me give them to you and we'll go back and look at them. The gospel of God, the gospel of God's grace in Christ, the gospel of His glory, the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all under the umbrella of the gospel of God, declares the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. God has loved His people, His elect, His chosen with an everlasting love. Secondly, it involves the will of God, and the will of God involves the purpose of God. The decree of God, the gospel of God concerns the will of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, it concerns the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood atonement. How is sin put away? Not by our works, but by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the fourth thing. This gospel of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the good news of salvation to the guilty, declares the work of God the Holy Spirit within the sinner, revealing Christ as everything in salvation. Now, somewhere along the course of human history, wicked men have sought to change God's gospel. They've sought to change it and to make it what the Apostle Paul called, when he wrote to the Galatians, another gospel, a man-centered gospel, a works gospel that gives the creature glory and honor instead of God only, Christ only. Now, let's go back and look at these four points. We know, according to the Scriptures, that God doesn't change. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed." You see, this gospel of God is the ancient gospel. It's an old message. It's old as God Himself. And it declares these four things. Here's the first one. The gospel of God declares the love of God. Now, let me ask you a very important question. I want you to think about it. Is the love of God that's taught in Scripture, is it universal? Is it universal? Is the love of God the same toward all men without exception or without difference? And my friend, my answer to you from the Scripture is no. The love of God is not universal. Is His love toward Judas and Peter the same? Jacob and Esau, is it the same? Paul, the Apostle, and Simon Magus, did God love universally, love them and all men, is it all the same? If you say that it is, the love of God has nothing to do with the salvation of a sinner. But my friend, what I'm saying, the Scripture teaches this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, upon His elect, upon His chosen, that we should be the sons of God. The love of God is not universal. The love of God is revealed only in Christ Jesus, and it is revealed toward His people. Now, let me give you four things about this love of God that the Scriptures teach. First of all, it's eternal. It's eternal. God in Christ has always loved His people. Always. He says in Jeremiah 31, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. Secondly, the love of God is sovereign. Remember what He said of Jacob and Esau? The love of God is sovereign. That means that God will love whom He will. He says in Romans 9, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now that's the word of God. In Noah's day, we don't see the universal love of God displayed. We see the sovereign love of God displayed. Millions, they tell me, perished in the flood. If God loved all them the same as He loved Noah and those within the ark, how can you say that God loved all men universally in that day? The love of God was manifested to Noah, sovereignly to Noah and his family within the ark. And that ark is a picture of Christ. So the love of God is eternal. The love of God is sovereign. It is toward His people, toward His chosen. He predestinated us in love. And thirdly, it's in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And it's demonstrated, this love of God is demonstrated at Calvary. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for His people. Christ died not in order to make God love His people, but because He did love His chosen. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Shall anyone perish for whom the Lord Jesus Christ loves and for whom He died, for whom He has chosen in that eternal covenant of grace? Absolutely not. They all shall be saved. You see, this is a biblical view of God's gospel and the right scriptural view of God's love in Christ Jesus. The gospel of God, secondly, declares the will of God in saving sinners. The will of God, the purpose of God in saving sinners. Now, if salvation were left, if we were left to our own fallen, sinful will in salvation, none will be saved. You heard me right. Our Lord said to those Jews recorded in John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Men love darkness rather than the light. Our Lord said again in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Salvation is by God's will, purpose, and grace. Now let me give you these three things. Salvation is by God's will, purpose, and grace. Now here's several scriptures. Salvation is by the will of God. He says in John chapter 1, He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but to many as received Him, to them gave He the will, the right, the privilege, the power to become sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will and purpose of God. So salvation, this gospel of God, declares the love of God and declares the will of God, the purpose of God in saving sinners. And salvation is by God's will. Salvation is by God's purpose. He works all things after the counsel of His own will and purpose. And salvation is by the grace of God, the sovereign, eternal, redeeming, powerful grace of God. The apostle put it this way in Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So the gospel of God declares the love of God, eternal, sovereign, in Christ Jesus, demonstrated at Calvary. The gospel of God also declares the will and the purpose of God. We're saved not by our free will. We're saved by God's purpose and grace in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the third thing. The gospel of God declares the effectual, powerful, particular blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the essential question. What happened at Calvary? What took place at Calvary? Did our Lord Jesus Christ, did He die to put away sin? Did He make an atonement for sin? Or did He try to put away sin? Did He die for all the sins of all men everywhere and make an attempt to put away all their sin? Or did He die an effectual death for His people as their substitute and representative, effectually putting away their sin? Well, the Scriptures teach that the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ was and is effectual. How effectual? He said in Hebrews 10, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The blood atonement of Jesus Christ is effectual, powerful, particular. And I mean by that when I say particular that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for His people. And it's powerful as well. The blood of Christ cleanses God's people from all their sin. And it's satisfying. This blood atonement, the substitute, the surety of the covenant, is satisfying to God Almighty. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, here's a vital question to consider. Did our Lord Jesus Christ die in vain? Are there some in hell for whom He died? Now, if your answer is yes, then the blood of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with our salvation and redemption from sin. If there's some perish, if there's some in hell for whom Christ died, and you think that your answer to that question is yes, then the blood of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with our salvation and redemption from sin. But if you say no, there's none that will perish because the blood of Christ puts away all their sin. If you answer that question, no, there's none that will perish for whom He died, then the blood atonement and sacrificial work has everything to do with the justification of sinners through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the last point. Now, we're considering this morning the gospel of God. The gospel of God declares the love of God. The gospel of God declares not only the love of God, but the will of God. And the gospel of God declares the effectual, powerful blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the last point. The gospel of God declares the sovereign revelation and application of the gospel within the sinner's heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul put it this way in Philippians 1, verse 6. God who hath begun a good work in you. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our Lord said in Matthew 11, 25, He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto His people, unto His babe. The Holy Spirit doesn't try to get men to believe or try to bring men to believe on Christ and come to Christ. He brings them willingly in the day of His power. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit sovereignly compels sinners to come to Christ. He says that in the Scripture, in Psalm 65, blessed is he whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. In Psalm 110, verse 3, he says, thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. Through the preaching of the gospel, God the Holy Spirit quickens and regenerates and draws sinners to Christ with irresistible power. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And when he brings us to Christ, he reveals that in salvation, Christ is everything. The apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And our believing is the result of being born again of God by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. This gospel of God concerning Christ Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. In this gospel is revealed the righteousness that's accomplished, provided, and accepted before God in Christ Jesus. Only that which God provides will God accept. It must be perfect. And that's what the gospel of God declares. The gospel of God declares this message of a successful sacrifice that was appointed of God and accepted of God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I pray that you'll consider this message today. And if you would like a copy of it, you can call me at 631-9053, or you can write to me at Zebulun Baptist Church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky,